Thanks for coming on the program.
You're welcome, Tony.
Congressman, if you were the mayor of Lansing and you've got a union entity that says we want our workers to get fair wages, but you've got a developer who says I can't afford to pay those and still make a profit to do a development that would be beneficial to the short and long term welfare for the city of Lansing, how would you handle it?
You're trying to get me to wade into a local Lansing issue. I can't. I don't know all the facts that the city council is dealing with. I'm generally familiar with the project. I mean, look, I'm sure that an agreement can be reached. You know, this is a development that will, you know, be another step in the in progress of the downtown Lansing area. I'm confident that smart people will work that out so that jobs are created.
Let's talk about the new National Guard facilities. I know you're pleased about that.
Well, the facilities are a long time in coming. Carl Levin and I were at the Fort Custer National Guard base in Battle Creek, where a maintenance shop was begun. We broke ground, and Senator Levin and I got the resources for this facility. That in this case, there's a local contractor. They're going to hire local workers to build this facility, and it will help, you know, just secure that National Guard base for generations to come. They will be maintaining and repairing military equipment, not just from Michigan, but all around the Midwest. So that's a very vital facility for the Army Guard, and they also have some other reserve training centers there, very important base. The Air National Guard base had two very important things happen yesterday. Again, Senator Levin and I brought back resources for construction of a facility for the, it's called the Air Operations Group. This is a non-flying command right here in Michigan, in Battle Creek, Michigan, where they are remotely joining in the command for the 17th Air Force unit in Africa. So they are helping to support our military mission to partner with countries that are trying to stand up stable, secure democracies in Africa. So again, that's jobs for the construction of the facility and jobs for that Air Operations Guard mission. The big deal, in my opinion, yesterday was the arrival of a prototype of the C-27J. It's a cargo aircraft that will replace the A-10s that Battle Creek lost a few years ago. And your listeners remember, we almost lost this Air National Guard base, part of the base closure process. And Joe Schwartz and I joined Arms 11 and Debbie Stabenow to save that base. Now we know this new, very versatile aircraft is coming in. It's going to arrive in 2012, but we'll have four initially, hopefully eight. That's going to secure the future of that base for a couple of generations to come and, you know, secure the jobs and make sure we can protect our homeland, respond to natural disasters, and be part of the war-fighting effort abroad.
We're talking with Congressman Mark Schauer on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Congressman, we had an economist from the Heritage Foundation, David John, talking about Social Security benefits. This was a hot topic in your debate against Mark Schauer. And what we do know is that for the second year in a row, Social Security checks will not be seeing a raise. This is a hot topic because the funding seems to come in as the money comes in, and this economist says some serious change is going to need to occur.
Yeah, well, that the fact that Social Security trustees, based on a formula that was created in the 70s, say there'll be no cost of living adjustment for Social Security has nothing to do with the solvency of Social Security. I mean, two things, Tony. Those trustees say that if Congress does nothing, Social Security will pay 100% of benefits, 100% of benefits through the year 2037. This COLA formula needs to be fixed. But in the interim, A bill that I co-sponsored is going to be voted on within a couple of weeks in Washington to make sure that seniors get a sort of a one-time stipend check in lieu of that COLA. And the reason that's necessary is the formula isn't really based on the expenses that senior citizens largely make, you know, medicines, heating costs, gasoline, I mean, just basic necessities, prescription drugs, healthcare costs. So I'm, you know, if I've got anything to do with it, we're going to make sure seniors get an adjustment for this year. And you raise the issue of Social Security. Tim Walberg said it again yesterday. He seems to keep running from his own words where he said he wanted to privatize Social Security. If you look at yesterday's story in the Jackson Citizen Patriot, he said that there should be no place for the federal government in Social Security. You know, it's just an amazing statement that he would even say something like that.
And those that seems to be one, and there's another issue where you two differ. First of all, on this, he wants to privatize it. You don't like that idea.
No, it's awful.
And when we talk about supporting the stimulus plan and health care, you were for it. And you were also for the bailouts of the auto industry, and Mr. Walberg wasn't in favor of that.
Well, let's talk, you know, I mean, the auto industry is kind of interesting. There have been two debates, both in Lansing, and the lead question, this tells you how important, one was hosted by the Lansing Chamber of Commerce, this tells you how important the auto industry is to this business group. And Tim Walberg didn't support, he actually missed the vote, and you know, he said afterwards, again, to a newspaper reporter, he would have reluctantly supported helping the auto industries. Now he's backed away from that, even though we know how much stronger GM and Chrysler are than that point where they were on the verge of completely going away. You know, this is GM is Lansing's largest employer. And, you know, I Tim Walberg and I have a very different view. I'm fighting for manufacturing. I'm fighting for fair trade. And darn right, I will continue to fight for these auto companies. Tim Walberg's solution, he may not realize the implications of his position, is they would have gone through a liquidation bankruptcy. They would have been gone. The Lansing Delta Township Assembly Plant would have been sold to somebody else. All of those jobs would have been gone, and that's just, you know, one reason why Tim Walberg cannot go back to Congress.
We don't talk about polls a lot on this show, but I want to bring them up now. A lot of polls suggest that this is a tight race. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not. Look, this is a very, very tough year, and I understand and share the anxiety that people are feeling. I mean, you know, keep in mind our economy was on the verge of depression, I mean, outright depression. And the hole that I inherited was very deep, and I've been working every day to dig our way out of it, helping the auto industry, helping renewable energy companies, you know, providing unemployment insurance for people that needed it. And, you know, Tim Walberg is, you know, trying to make people think that, you know, I was the one that created it. So, but people are smarter than that. I know it's, and historically, in a president's first midterm election, you know, the party in power loses seats. So it's a tough district and a tough year. But, you know, while Democratic candidates like me around the country are sort of falling by the wayside, I've got a narrow lead over Tim Walberg, and I've got the right message. You know, the people understand that Tim Walberg thinks outsourcing is good, that NAFTA has been good. You know, I'm fighting for fair trade. He wants to privatize Social Security. And we haven't talked a lot about this, Tony. He supports a radical plan to eliminate Medicare, turn it into a voucher program. Look, I know everyone doesn't agree with me on everything, but they know I'm in there fighting every day to make things better and turn things around. And I've got a great campaign. I mean, that's the wild card. We've got a great ground game, and we're going to turn people out, and we're going to win.
Are you going to have the president in?
I don't know. I don't know where he's in Ohio. I haven't heard from him. You know, I think you know, our base is already pretty fired up, and you know, I don't think we need anyone from the outside to get Democrats and independents and. you know, the Joe Schwartz supporters that with his endorsement, I think a lot of them will be supporting me. So I think we, if we do our job, we're going to be just fine.
And then finally, before we let you go, Congressman Schauer, I wanted to get your take on the Enbridge oil spill into the Kalamazoo River. We had Mark Durnal from the EPA. Mm-hmm. He believes that a lot of progress has been made on the cleanup. Wanted to get your take on that.
I think the EPA has done a very good job, and you know, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And I was at the community meeting last week in Marshall, and they were talking about 2015, where they expect to continue to be involved here, at least in a monitoring phase. So I think the EPA has done a fabulous job. They've held Enbridge accountable, and you know, Enbridge has had to report to them in terms of all of the cleanup activities. The other thing we continue to work very diligently to help address problems that families and property owners are having, and I am keeping a very close watch on the regulatory body that oversees pipeline safety to make sure that this gradual restart is happening safely. And the other thing, you know, that I played a very instrumental role, Tony, Tim Walberg thinks I was too tough on this pipeline company, is that they were not allowed to restart that pipeline without a timetable, a 180-day timetable to fix all of the other 329 defects in that pipeline so that this doesn't happen again.
And just to touch base on this, in talking with Mr. Durnal, he said that it's probably going to be 5 years before the cleanup is done, and there are still people experiencing respiratory issues.
Well, you know, one thing that there have been so many things that were handled improperly by Enbridge, and one was they didn't tell local authorities the type of heavy crude oil with a dilutant or a thinner, it's called naphthalene, that was being used. If they would have filed the proper documentation with the county, county officials would have mandatorily evacuated everyone within 1,000 feet of the spill. 1,000 feet of the spill. And so I think a lot of these issues could have been avoided, but you know, this was a very, you know, this was a hazardous liquid.
All right, Congressman, I've got to get to a news break. Thank you
so
much for coming
on
the program.
Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon.